In 2005, a 27-year-old woman went to the casino. It was a place she frequented regularly, but that day, she did not return home. Her boyfriend was the main suspect due to the couple's history of domestic violence. When police officers checked the establishment's security cameras, instead of finding answers, they had more questions. Today's case will talk about the disappearance and death of Christy Wilson. Christy Lynn Wilson was born on January 10th, 78. Unfortunately, there is not much information available about her childhood and adolescence. What is known is that in high school and college, she always excelled in subjects that involved numbers. Christy lived with her mother and stepfather, Debbie and Patrick Boyd, and her sister Stacy in Lincoln, California. As an adult, she loved playing a card game called Blackjack, and her mathematical ability enabled her to play well. Everyone knew that she was an excellent player. In 2005, at the age of 27, while playing some games in a casino, Christy met a car salesman called Danny Belando, age 31. The relationship developed very quickly, and that same year Christy left the family home to live with her new boyfriend. However, their relationship was troubled. Christy's stepfather said she once went to visit her mother, and he noticed some bruises on her. After the visit, he mentioned it to his wife, who confirmed that she had also noticed the marks. In September of that same year, Danny and Christy had a huge fight at home. Both were screaming so loud that their neighbours called the police. When the police arrived at the scene, both Danny and Christy were injured. It is not known exactly how badly, but neither wanted to press charges against the other. One Thursday night, October 4th, Christy went to Thunder Valley Casino in Lincoln, while Danny went to dinner with his family. Whenever she went to casinos, she came back late at night, and that's why Danny wasn't worried when he got home around 11:30 p.m. and she was not there. He fell asleep, and when he later woke up, she had still not arrived home. He called her, but her cell phone was off. The fact that they didn't have a stable relationship made him say, "Ah, she'll be here soon. Her cell phone died. She must have stayed up all night playing games and went back to a friend's house." In other words, he thought it was fine. That Friday morning, he went to work. Even so, during the day he tried to call his girlfriend and got nothing. When he returned home that evening, Christy still was not there. Everything was in the same place. At this stage, alarm bells should have been going off that something should be done, don't you agree? Unfortunately, Danny decided to wait. In this case, maybe he wanted to have some time for himself. It is hard to know. On Saturday the 6th, he went to work again. When he got home in the evening, Christy still had not arrived home. He decided to go to the casino, and when he got there, he found his girlfriend's car. He checked the establishment but didn't find her. He spoke to the staff and asked them to check if her membership card was active. Was she playing somewhere? The staff could not give him this information. It was then, 48 hours after he last saw her, that Danny called the police from the casino. Upon arriving at the scene, the police checked the car inside and out, but found nothing strange. Then they went with Danny to the apartment, and he authorized their entry to search the place. He handed over her computer to see if they could find anything on it. In the apartment, they could not find any signs of a struggle or any evidence that suggested that she wanted to leave. Almost all of her documents, personal belongings, and medication that she was using were there. Looking at Danny's cell phone, it was found that he had called her 78 times during the period in which he reported that she was missing. Talking to the couple's neighbours, the details of their troubled relationship came out in full. The stepfather even said that he didn't like Danny and wanted the police to analyse everything very carefully. He had a feeling that something very wrong had happened to his stepdaughter. Soon, Danny was the main suspect. The police analysed the casino's security cameras. This was not an easy task, as there were hundreds of camera locations, including internal and external areas. Casinos usually have many cameras, because this type of establishment, especially the gaming tables and slot machines, needs to be heavily monitored. Danny seemed to be the only person with a motive to harm Christy, but he had a partial alibi. Danny was having dinner at his parents' house that night, then met up with a friend who dropped him off at around 11:30 at night. He had no alibi for what happened in the early hours of the 5th, as he reported that he went to sleep, believing that his girlfriend would arrive home late. The information was kept until the police were able to identify Christy on the casino cameras. During the 7th and 8th, Christy was identified on the casino's cameras, and investigators were able to put together a timeline of what happened inside, as well as a little of what happened outside. She was seen leaving, and this sequence of events did not include the presence of her boyfriend at any time. At 7 p.m, Christy arrived at the casino. For several hours, she was seen at the tables playing blackjack. They noticed that next to her was a dark-haired man who interacted a lot with her, and at some points you can see him putting his arm on Christy's shoulders. The police officers also noticed that as the night went on, his behaviour seemed like that of a person who was drunk. Christy did not usually drink much because she needed to concentrate on her games. While winning, she smiled and laughed with joy. But when she lost, she began to change. Witnesses said she lost so much that she started using money borrowed from this man. She continued to lose, and her behaviour became aggressive. The employees warned her that she would need to leave the place if this type of behaviour continued, and at the time the man told her that everything would be okay, since she was with him. Hours of recording later, it was seen that Christy left with this man at around 1 in the morning. They walked through the parking lot, and you can see that on the way he tried to put his hand around her waist, but she rejected him. They walked towards his car, which was parked at a distant location beyond the camera's vision. The images record the moment when his car's headlights flashed. This was later confirmed to be an electrical signal from the vehicle to inform him that it was being unlocked. After 3 minutes and 41 seconds, the car headlights were turned on and it left the scene. When the car passed the casino door, you can see that the driver was alone. The police wanted to speak to this man. They tracked his steps in the casino and easily identified him from a slot machine, where he used his membership card about 10 minutes before starting to play cards. This man was called Mario Flavio Garcia, 53 years old, married, father of 2 children, and a project manager at a local hospital. Pulling up his criminal record, the police discovered that he had a past with some suspicious acts. He had already been arrested for kidnapping an ex-girlfriend. He had attacked her and threatened to shoot her. In fact, he did try to shoot her, but the gun was unloaded. It was an action designed to scare her. She filed charges against him, but he was only prosecuted as a first-time offender. Later, there was another incident where he was in a car with another girlfriend, Lynette Smith, and her mother. Suddenly, Mario lost control of the vehicle and they all drove into a river. Only he survived. Some witnesses testified that the car was actually driving normally at the side of the road, and suddenly, out of nowhere, it accelerated towards the water. This fact was not investigated, and the incident was considered an accident. Now the police had a second suspect. On the 9th, police officers went to his house. Mario answered all the questions and confirmed that he was indeed at the casino, that he met a girl called Christy that they left the place together, but that in the parking lot each went their own way. They just talked, and he did not have any kind of intimate contact with her. For him, when he drove off to go home, he assumed she went to her car. He added that he slept all night, and that the next morning he arrived at work as usual at 9 a.m. During this chat, the police noticed suspicious scratch marks on his face. They invited him to go to the police station the following day to give an official statement. What they actually wanted was to take photos and examine him. His wife and children stated that Mario slept at home but were unable to confirm the exact time that he arrived. Investigators spoke with his co-workers and they confirmed that Mario arrived late on the 5th. He had a meeting at 9 a.m. but ended up arriving at 10:30 a.m. Furthermore, everyone had seen the scratch marks on his face. When asked by colleagues what had happened, he explained that the marks were caused while he was pruning a tree in his backyard. This was strange, since he would have to have been pruning the tree between 1 a.m. when he was seen leaving the casino and 10:30 a.m. when he arrived late for work. It is not normal for someone to be late for a meeting because they are doing some domestic gardening. Mario appeared at the police station with his lawyer present. He took a photo, and it was made clear that he was not being arrested or detained, but that under the circumstances, he was one of the suspects, and this process had to be carried out. As Mario still had the scars from the marks, the police called a medical expert, who specialized in emergency medicine, to analyze the injuries. She highlighted that the wounds showed that they were not the marks of someone who had fallen from a tree, but rather the result of a physical struggle. The marks were only on his left side. This was important because if the victim was right-handed, she could probably scratch his left side harder. And yes, Christy was right-handed. With these new clues, the police obtained a warrant to investigate his home and his car. Analyzing his computer, they saw that Mario had visited, weeks before Christie's disappearance, websites on forensic toxicology, forensic evidence, firearms, and a website about drugs used in physical abuse. In the car, they found that everything was very clean, but that the trunk carpet was missing. This was strange because the car was new, bought just a few months previously. The police were able to find two strands of hair in the trunk and some small samples of blood in the left rear door. Following DNA analysis, it was confirmed that both the hair and the blood samples were from Christy. Therefore, even without a body, Mario was arrested and accused of the disappearance and death of Christy Wilson.
Hey, você se interessa por crimes reais, serial killers, coisas macabras e tem um senso de humor um tanto quanto sórdido? Se sim, você não está sozinho.
Se você precisa de um lugar recheado de pessoas como você, venha conhecer o podcast Pátria Amada Criminal.
Todas as semanas tentamos entender o pior da humanidade.
Nesse processo a gente ri, chora, fica brava, fofoca, porque afinal de contas é assim que a gente fala quando está entre amigos.
Suas novas melhores amigas trevosas estão aqui no Pátria Amada Criminal.
The prosecution put together the following theory. Mario probably met Christy at that casino table. He may have put some type of drug in her drink, which may have led to her inappropriate behavior with the employees. Shortly after they left the casino, while in the parking lot, he unlocked his car, and for the next 3 minutes and 41 seconds, he probably attacked her. In an act of defense, Christy left marks on his body. Somehow he subdued her, perhaps with a physical blow or the use of a chemical product. Then he bundled her into the trunk so that he could leave the casino without arousing any suspicion. He drove to some other part of the city and sexually assaulted her. Then he took her life and hid her body somewhere. The prosecution argued that this was a premeditated crime due to his use of drugs to incapacitate his victim and create an opportunity for sexual assault. They believed that the circumstances of this crime led to her death, even though her body had not been found. The trial hearings began the following year, in September 2006. The family believed that in one of the hearings he might confess to the crime due to prosecution offers to reduce the sentence requested, but he did not change his story. In January 2007, Mario was found guilty of the crimes of kidnapping and murder of Christy and was sentenced to 59 years in prison. Now he was considered guilty. The family believed he could say where Christy's body was, but instead, he said this.
I suppose that at this hearing, I'm supposed to ask for mercy, for forgiveness, and to show remorse. However, I will not do such thing. I did not kill Christy Wilson.
During his time in prison, he maintained his innocence, and his requests for a review of the case were always denied. Debbie, Christy's mother, sent him letters asking him to please tell her where her daughter's body was, as the pain of her absence was something that she could no longer bear. Mario simply did not pay attention. The case was never closed. It was just cold, so to speak. But 15 years after the disappearance in 2019, new investigators decided to analyze the case once again and found that the statements from the accused children were, let's say, vague. In 2004, they were preteens, and many of their answers were, "I don't know, I don't remember, I didn't see." The police decided to question them again. One of them said that he remembered one thing. During the week when police officers showed up at his house and Mario was going to and from the police station and was later arrested, he saw his father digging the yard with a tractor when his mother was not at home. He could not remember the day, the time, whether it was morning or night, but he remembered something about his father with the machine during that troubled week. With this information, the yard was excavated, but nothing was found. The following year, using new technology equipment that used ground-penetrating radar with very deep ranges, they returned to the family's backyard and analysed the ground again. At some point, the device detected organic remains which could be animal or human, but it was necessary to investigate. And so, in August 2020, investigators finally managed to find Christy Wilson's body. An autopsy later revealed that Christy had a broken hand and nose, but the exact cause of her death could not be determined. All this time she had been buried in the back garden of the house of the person who for a decade and a half denied being responsible for the crime. Debbie said when she received the news it was a moment of peace, exactly what she had needed for the last 15 years. Mario ended up dying in prison 4 months later, on December 24th, 2020, at the age of 68, due to pneumonia aggravated by COVID-19. There is no information about Danny these days. Christy is now buried in a cemetery, and the family can finally move on, even with the pain of her physical absence from life, but with some sense of closure.
Hey, você se interessa por crimes reais, serial killers, coisas macabras e tem um senso de humor um tanto quanto sórdido? Se sim, você não está sozinho.
Se você precisa de um lugar recheado de pessoas como você, venha conhecer o podcast Pátria Amada Criminal.
Todas as semanas tentamos entender o pior da humanidade.
Nesse processo a gente ri, chora, fica brava, fofoca, porque afinal de contas é assim que a gente fala quando está entre amigos.
Suas novas melhores amigas trevosas estão aqui, no Pátria Amada Criminal.